Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
I'm in a real good-hearted place right now, so I really don't want to see that taken advantage of. I know that people could make up stories for all kinds of reasons, but I'm trusting that unless I see otherwise, you know.
You're in a good-hearted place. So where are you, in one of those porn shops? Are you Dr. John's?
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
That's, okay. That's a good place to be. Welcome back. It's a brand new episode. This is Laugh With Me, a podcast with Jeremy Odom. I'm your host, J.O. Hi. Did you check out the interview with the Tiger King? It's appropriately titled Tiger King Joe Exotic. It just came out right before this episode. Check it out. What a gift it was. He called in from prison to give us an update on where he's at with the pardons and just kind of, you know, where he's at. Some nuggets in there. We found out if he was on the Epstein list. That's good. It's good to just either clear your name or just hand up. So check it out. Fun episode, and was pretty surreal. A big fan of his as far as like the TV show. Not a fan of the murder for hires and the animal endangerment and whatnot, as I'm sure a lot of you are too. That wasn't a joke, Johnny. I really don't agree with those things. But anyhow, for more information on Joe Exotic, if you heard the episode, joeexoticofficial.com. All right, well, today, another special guest, and he's been on the show before. He's a stand-up comedian. He is an actor. He's a writer, and he currently resides in Lincoln, Nebraska. Kent Maslowski, he is calling in, and we're going to get an update, see where he's at, what he's got going on, and he's got an awesome show July 25th in Omaha, or not in Omaha, in Lincoln, at the Storm Cellar. It's for a great cause. So awesome lineup, and it's for a great cause. We're going to hear all about that, and frankly, a whole lot more. We went all over the place as far as what we talk about, but it's always fun to catch up with Kent. And that's the thing. He's a guy that's like, you know, those people that are just, they can talk to you about anything, right? And I like to think I'm kind of in that world too, where it's like, I could run into anybody and they'll bring up something. And I don't know everything about it, but I know just enough. And we can just talk and talk and talk. And then you'll know something very rare or random about that topic. He's one of those guys. Like, I feel like I'm one of those guys too. And so it's fun to catch up with him and just chat. And fun episode. And we've got more coming later this week as well, as this is season 4 of Laugh With Me. Kent Maslowski calling in.
I've been writing a bunch of new jokes. I've been for some reason, my sets, people are saying this, are just, they're clicking harder than they ever have. I don't know why. I don't know what's different. I have no idea. And what's crazy about it is, sometimes these are sets that I'm not completely happy with because I'm such a massive perfectionist.
Yeah.
I'll rearrange a word. And because the audience doesn't know that I did that, they don't care. But then when I listen back, I'm like, oh, I said, that doesn't even make sense. How did they laugh? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best, though. When the audience still laughs and you're like, I can make that better.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're in that flow state, you know, sometimes things get like transposed. But at the same time, it's like they're responding to your confidence. They're not responding to the words per se.
True.
It's the confidence allows you to do their thinking for them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So you were producing the show because I did it last year where you try to do a set while you're eating increasingly hot chicken wings. That was a lot of fun. I haven't seen that you've had one recently. What's the status on that show?
It's kind of on hiatus right now. We're finding new comics, and I ran through all the comics in Lincoln. Like, I got every single one, and you, like, yeah. You know, I think we had some people come from Omaha as well. So, like, I don't want to do it with the same people over and over. I think the real novelty comes from the novelty. So
yep.
People trying it for the first time, because then if it's someone who's already done it, then they kind of know what they're in for. And that kind of kills some of the fun. I want people to in real time have to strategize. How am I going to finish this set?
Yeah. Cause it certainly was that, because the first wing was fine. But then once I got into the second one, it was like, all right, this is, I can see how it's going to be a challenge as I'm also trying to keep my composure and be able to talk.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I enjoy the show Hot Ones, so it's like anything in that world is just great. Like, there's endless opportunities for it. So I very much enjoyed doing it, and I very much enjoyed watching the show as well.
Yeah, it's fun. I think the audience enjoys it because even if you've heard these jokes before, you've never heard them performed this way.
Yeah, you never heard it like this.
Bizarre pauses and burps and coughs and whoa, wow, that's only hot. There's more, you know. But that's the thing is, like, I've been saying for a while that, like, I don't know if stand-up comedy is dead per se. And I don't mean dead like not living. I mean dead like a sea. Like, I feel like I don't know where it's going.
Right.
And I think the only place for it to go is back to its roots, which it's the roots of vaudeville, or of stand-up comedy, rather, are vaudeville. And really criminality, because, you know, it was gangsters that named stand-up.
Really?
Oh, you don't know this? Okay.
No, so, I don't know. You give me a history lesson. No, I 100% did not know that.
Okay, this is the core of the quote unquote Jets and Sharks issue with improv and stand up. Okay, so improv comes from Toronto, which is a really nice place in a really nice country, and people like to work together, right? That's improv.
Yeah.
Stand up. All right. The origins of stand up are, if you could entertain a room full of dudes in a back room, like some of whom had pistols on the table, smoke in the room, you know, you get them all to laugh and you could survive that show, they'd say you're a stand-up guy.
Okay. Okay. Stand-up guy. Now, I've heard that phrase before, not thinking it had anything to do with comedy.
Right. Right. It has other connotations, but at that time, that was how they described. So, like, Don Rickles.
Yep.
Stand-up guy.
Okay.
Because Don Rickles could go into that room with actual honest-to-God gangsters, some with pistols on the table, and make fun of all of them to their face and survive the encounter.
Yeah. So
that's pretty impressive.
George Burns was probably in that world, I would imagine.
Yeah. Penny Youngman.
Do you think that is like that's a world you could live in? I mean, do you think you could survive that room?
I think I could perform in that room. I've had enough bizarre experiences mm-hmm. that I think first and foremost, if you lead with respect,
right,
it doesn't really matter what room you're in, who you're around. I've been with people from all different states and states of being, and as long as you treat people with respect, by and large, unless they're crazy, you're pretty much okay.
Right.
Now, because the crazy ones are still there. That is a thing. But like I performed at like Dr. Jack's Drinkery?
Yeah.
That's a biker bar in Omaha. That was when I was still drinking, actually. I remember because I pulled off to get some SoCo shooters before I went in there. And there was a comic who he was on stage. He doesn't really perform anymore. But he did his entire set, unbeknownst to him, with his fly down. Hilarious.
My biggest fear, not just in on stage, but just in life, my biggest fear.
Yeah. That's an understandable fear, but he did it, and it was just like, man, like, you're with the lights, I mean, it's impossible for us to miss, and you don't have any clue, and this is going to be amazing. And when he did find out, he just, like, ran out of the bar.
Yeah. Was he commando that night?
No.
Okay. That, lucky him. Yeah. No. Oh, that's
lucky
awesome.
Me.
Yeah. Lucky you. Yeah. That's a good point. So as a sober comic, how is it being around folks? Because you just mentioned, you know, at that show, you had to get the shooters ahead of time, and you know, and I've done the same thing. I've had a few drinks before. How do you feel about the difference in that when you're there and you're preparing and getting ready to go on stage and maybe your coworkers or castmates are not necessarily as sober?
Well, yeah, they probably won't be. Some of them I'll make fun of, you know.
Yeah.
There's one every time I do my enough joke, I go and I look in the crowd and I see if he's there and I'll point at him. And that's just because, you know, I see where he's going and I've been there. And I fully understand, and right now he's having fun, and I was having fun for a long time, but at a certain point, it just overshadows the fun, and yep. It's fine. You just, that's when you quit, and it's just knowing when it happened. That was the thing that I feel so blessed about, is that I knew when, as soon as, like, a mathematical equation, it was like, this is encroaching on photography, I'm cutting it out.
Right.
I had a gig that I woke up on my friend's floor and I had to go and do. And yeah. I was like, this is the last time this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then with stand up, it took 4 months after I stopped drinking to be able to stand on stage without, like, my leg shaking just a little bit. Like, I really hadn't done it, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. Like, without that, I hadn't really, there have been a couple shows that I'd done, you know, completely stone sober. One was in a church to like 300 people. That was kind of a change.
I'm thinking of your material and I'm like, so you did a church. Was it a clean show?
5 minutes. Yes. I did. The show did not go through 5 minutes. They had a DJ, you know? It was cool. Reverend Jarrell ran that show, and Carlos Tibbs, RIP, was on that, and Carlos was amazing. If you know anyone who knew him, get you some Carlos stories, because he was a tremendous comic.
Dude, speaking of RIP, did you know O.J. Simpson died?
Yeah, a little while ago, right?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I'm still struggling with it.
Okay.
But yeah, well, carry on.
What is it about O.J. Simpson dying that gets to you?
Well, I just feel like he didn't get a fair shake. Like, he died so young, you know?
Well,
he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he's beloved in movies and television. Like, the guy just, I don't know. I just
can't name a single bad thing he ever did either. So
Not really. Yeah. I mean, he had a little bit of legal trouble in the 90s, but that all got sorted out.
Oh, that was some kind of, you know, misunderstanding or something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the good thing about it is he didn't then publish a book that was called If I Did It, which included the phrase I remember multiple times.
You know, that if I remember correctly, That the proceeds from that book went to some victims of that little legal case that was just a misunderstanding. So in the end, it worked out.
Truly a towering giant of a man.
Yeah, he is.
He will be missed.
He will be missed. And that concludes the O.J. Simpson portion of the episode.
Or does it?
Or does it?
They're remaking The Naked Gun.
They are, yes. They've got to make a mention. Have to.
Well, they did in the trailer. You didn't see it?
No, I have not. Did they really?
Yes. So what happened was the Leslie Nielsen character is being played by what's his name? It's Liam Neeson. Neeson, he's like the son of Frank Drebin. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where it's him and he's looking at the picture of his father and he's talking to him. And it just pans down, and it's all the cops are doing this, and it gets to OJ's kid, and he looks up and goes, "Nah,
nah." That's great. I'm just happy they.
A really fun movie.
I'm just happy they gave him a little nod. That movie is going to be so funny because you can just imagine it's going to have that same feel. They don't make like Hollywood doesn't make comedies like that anymore. So this hopefully does well at the box office and they can start to get that rolling again.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're not wrong. R-rated comedies are like kind of a thing of the past at this point. Like if they can bring it back, I'll tell you who's going to do it. Probably is Cat Williams.
Really?
Cat Williams bought a military base a couple years ago. And this was inspired by Tyler Perry, who previously bought a military base and then started a huge film studio. Well, Cat Williams bought a military base and it's got 3 million square feet of studio space. So
Cat Williams,
you're gonna see him producing a lot of stuff over the next few years. Yeah.
Well, I'm here for it because we just haven't had that since probably the early 2000s, mid 2000s, somewhere in there. It's been a long time. Did you see the movie Friendship?
I did not.
Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson. So freaking good.
I like
good.
Tim Robinson.
Oh,
I mean,
so freaking
like
good.
Rudd. I mean, except for, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio in Romeo and Juliet. But
yeah.
Didn't even notice in that. Isn't that weird?
I would.
Paris is one of the humans who dies in Romeo and Juliet, and they didn't kill Paris. Paris is like the platonic ideal for Juliet. Of course, Romeo should kill him. But not in the Baz Luhrmann one where everyone had guns. It wouldn't have been hard.
No, it wouldn't have been hard at all. That's a lapse in the script. Wait,
that's a plot hole.
We need to remake the movie.
Cat Paris. That's right. Romeo Must Die Part 2. Cat Paris.
and they got to cast Leo in it and make things right.
That's right. And they'll cast his girlfriend, and then after she graduates from high school, and they can release it.
I heard that, I don't know who his girlfriend is currently, but I heard she is over 29, because he had this whole thing forever that he doesn't date girls over 29. I heard that she is, so maybe he's matured a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's 50, so that makes sense.
It's about
you're
that
right,
time.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, listen, you're 50. It's time to not your own age, but a couple decades down now.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Tobey Maguire are friends for life, and I remember what was it, like 10+ years ago. They were talking on MTV about how they have like matching Ferraris, and they pull into the same like bar and hang out together, just being movie stars with Ferraris.
Movie stars. And they still do this?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were running in that circle. You used to live in LA.
I did meet Ron Glass. That's true. I met Ron Glass, but but it was under not false pretenses, but the person who was introducing me was a super Scientologist. And I was like, I had to figure out if like he was then. I don't know.
Imagine where your career would be right now had you joined Scientology at that moment.
I would be one of those people who puts the wood inlay in Tom Cruise's Pathfinder.
Yes, you would.
I would, or the no, sorry, it was Lincoln Navigator.
Lincoln Navigator. Yeah.
Yeah. That would, and then with my tongue, I probably would end up in that facility that doesn't exist out in Nevada that they have.
That doesn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
Oh,
it's not like I have a friend who went and shot industrials there.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, they lock you in. It's weird. Yeah. No, it's not like that ever happened.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's Hollywood.
Yeah. Have you been, have you, I know you're writing jokes, but have you written or started working on any screenplays or anything like that?
Well, I have a screenplay that I've been working on for a while. It takes place at a church camp, actually. Mm. It's a kid. It's based loosely on my actual experiences at church camp when I was very, very young. But one thing I noticed was that in addition to kids who come from church, they would also just bus in bad kids,
right,
to be like, I don't know, by osmosis, just like maybe the power of Christ compels you. Like, can we make these good kids? And what ended up happening was not that. What ended up happening was then you just kind of, let's see, I remember Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. It was a little like that because I had never fought until that camp, and I remember fighting on the way to like nightly church service after dinner one time. I just clocked this kid at the water fountain.
Oh,
so basically the story is it's about one of those kids and why is he there and what was the idea behind this, and because it was a time where that was a thing that they thought would help. And I to this day don't understand, but I was trying to like wrap my head around what is the life of this kid who gets sent to this as punishment, you know?
Yeah.
Like he wants to go to juvie, but they send him to church camp. It's like, oh no, what's the fallout there? And I have the broad strokes figured out. I know how I want it to end. It's just a matter of like putting that connective tissue together. And then I have a sci-fi series that I started writing like 5 years ago. I did a pilot for that, and I've been working on the second episode of that for a minute.
So the church movie, is that like a young coming of age type movie, or is it like a faith-based and he finds himself?
Neither.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the idea is it's kind of like more of like a slice of life, kind of like this is the day in, day out of this camp. And then now we take this aberration and we kind of inject it in and just like, what are the effects? Mm. And then beyond that, everyone has a past, everyone has a future. So, you know, it's like every sinner has a future, every saint has a past.
Yep.
It's sort of that where, you know, you think, oh, this is a bad kid, but like there are no just out of nowhere bad kids.
Right.
So, you know, I try to address how this all came to be. And a lot of kids that you think are bad kids are deeply misunderstood. And I, you know, the older I get, the more I start to think, and this sounds like a joke, but it's not, starting to think I was probably and am still somewhere on the spectrum. And I know a lot of people like to say that they watch TikTok and they go, oh, this is me.
Right.
But I've been looking at like just social anxiety and then like things I have with food and all these different little details. And I'm like, hold on. First of all, if this is the case, I really wish this would have been figured out years ago, but no one was talking like that back then.
Yeah.
If you were autistic, you were nonverbal. That's the only the only version that, you know, that society beheld. So, you know, now we have concepts like Asperger's, et cetera. And so I'm starting to think that I'm somewhere in this neurodivergent world, which is weird. But at the same time, the thing I keep coming back to is there's a lot of comfort in knowing that you're a perfectly fine zebra and not just a messed up horse.
Well, 100%. And so that bears the question, do you think it is just a matter of we have more tests, we have more ability to diagnose people, or is there something that is causing it and making it more... I guess it's just happening to more people now. You know, like the people who think that the vaccines are causing it. I'm not one that believes that. The science is too good to say that it doesn't. So do you think it's one way or the other? I guess, where do you stand on that?
I think, and this is part of why I think I have this neurodivergent mind, because when I'm asked questions like that, I try to look at it from multiple angles. And that's the thing is, it's been so many decades now, it's hard to tell. Is it because during the unpleasantness of 2020, we learned that the more you test for things, the more you find them.
Sure.
So we are testing more for autism, so we're finding it more. But is it more prevalent as well? We can't say, because we're finding it more, but maybe it was always there. I don't know. But simultaneously, also, we have, you know, food dyes that are petroleum-based. What are we doing?
Right.
Petroleum-based, and Skittles did not. Skittles and M&Ms are like, no, we're keeping our bright food dyes. But a lot of companies are like, yeah, we're going to start flavoring with fruit juice and coloring with fruit juice and stuff. And that's what they do in Canada. And I've had Canadian Fruit Loops, and they are top-notch.
They are pretty good.
They're really good. We did a taste test Tuesday, which we do on the radio every Wednesday, for consistency. And we tested American versus Canadian Fruit Loops. And after the Canadian Fruit Loops, I threw away the American Fruit Loops. I was like, I don't want to subject myself to these anymore.
Did the colors fade faster?
The colors are not as brilliant.
Okay.
But it's cereal.
True.
You're gonna digest it pretty quick.
Yeah, but I like my cereal to be neon. Like, I want it bright.
You like a pop of color on the spoon in that blur right before it gets shoved into your gullet. Yeah,
that's
no, it
right.
Changes everything. Yeah, no, it's yeah. Instead of pale green, it was bright neon green. And man, I'm telling you, here's the thing. It tastes worse. Because these are petroleum products.
Jeez. So while we're on this subject, go ahead and plug the radio show for anyone listening. Yeah.
So every week on Tuesday and Wednesday on the Santa Cruz Voice at, well, it's 2 Central, but out there it's noon. We do a show called One Season in the Sun. It's me and the host of the show, which is Brian G. And we talk about sports. We talk about goofy stuff. We talk about, basically, we are a non-political show. I'm not crossing my fingers. We are a non-political show. The whole purpose is that you can listen to it while you're eating your lunch and just have something to enjoy. So we talk about, like, we talked about Ozzy last week. You know,
mm-hmm.
Talked about how Sharon kicked somebody off that show, but we don't know who. We've been trying to figure it out.
Oh, that wanted to monetize it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we think it was their manager is more than likely what it was. Okay. It's probably not the band that's like, oh, we want money. It's usually the manager. Think of that way. But, you know, what else have we touched on? Ozzy last week.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys talked about the Backstreet Boys residency at the Las Vegas Sphere yet?
No, I just saw that this morning. I saw some of the visuals.
It's
and
wild.
I mean, what was crazy was, like, I mean, the audience, it was like the 90s again, because they were the same screaming fans they were 20 years ago. It was like no time had passed, and the visuals are so crazy.
Yep.
Like I think what happened was, these are the visuals that they used to, if you wanted to see them, you'd have to go to like Electric Daisy Carnival, mm-hmm. or like one of these like outdoor raves. And so the visuals were always there. It's just a matter of constructing a thing that could hold them. And that's the Sphere, which, by the way, I heard yesterday, 25% off for Vegas locals. So.
Is it really?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, the Sphere, it loses millions and millions of dollars. Like, at what point is this thing just going to shut down? I'm concerned.
You're concerned for the Sphere?
I am, because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful facility. Haven't seen it in person, but everything I've seen on TV, everything I've seen online, it looks insane. Everybody that comes out of there is like, this is the way to see a show, and you don't even have to look at the band. Like, it's just incredible. The artists are like, it's amazing, but it's weird because the audience isn't necessarily looking at us. But then,
right. But
everybody has a great time. But then I heard to like, run the damn thing, it's just millions and millions and millions of dollars that they're just losing. I don't know if that's just over, they have a plan where over time, you know, like Netflix, where they're like, yeah, by 2035 we'll turn a profit, but then that never happens, you know, when they get there. But yeah, I don't know what the future of it is. I'm concerned.
They said Uber hasn't ever turned a profit, but they just happen to be gathering data on every single person who uses their service. So at a certain point, they're gonna have something worth something.
True.
The Sphere is just a performance venue with insane fiber optics, and it's got to be crazy expensive to run, and not to mention the show that you're seeing is only half of the Sphere. The other half is, while you're waiting for the show, you're going through this like museum of future technology. It's like technology of the 21st century, the 22nd century, like if we're in the 21st century, how'd that happen?
So is that like a separate ticket for that? Or is that just when you get in?
No, my understanding is that's part of the overall experience. There's all kinds of wacky technology. I've never been there, but I have looked at it, and I have friends who have gone, and they say just mind-blowing. Drew Carey said that it was like a transformative experience in his life.
Wow.
He saw the dead there.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, that would be quite the show.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd love to go, but man, that's going to be a pricey ticket.
It's going to be a pricey ticket for sure, and it'd be good to do once, at least.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I don't know. My fear is that someone's going to crash into that thing, because they have traffic going around it all the time, and it's bright and brilliant. And periodically, I don't know if you've seen this, there are like beings that are trying to break out of it. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Okay, so they have like, as animated as part of the Sphere, it's like a giant being, and it's beating on the Sphere, breaking through the glass. And I have to think if you're driving around Vegas, maybe if you're driving around Vegas, you're desensitized and nothing can touch you at that point. I don't know. But for me, if I saw that thing, I'd get a little weirded out.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And like, does it ever get out? And and why did you program it to get out?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I didn't mean to get you off track from the radio show, but the Las Vegas Sphere, it just, I don't know. I'm concerned for the future of it, but I'm also encouraged by the technology of it. You know, like what else is going to come from this, you know, because obviously people are super, super excited about it. But that Ozzy Osbourne, man, I hadn't seen that guy in a long time. And to see him performing it from that chair was sad, but it was also like, man, I hope that was the last run. Like, I hope he actually is retiring.
Yeah. Yeah. When he sang Mama, I'm Coming Home, you felt it.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is a man who built a genre, who built a world, who built a universe of music and of camaraderie. Like, the metal people would not exist without Ozzy Osbourne.
True.
The whole idea of metal, this whole Prince of Darkness thing that, you know, I mean, it would not be there without him. And to be able to see his, for lack of a better word, to see his kids come and pay tribute is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But at the same time, yeah, he's at the end of his life. I mean, at the best case scenario, he's what, 80?
Yeah, he's got to be in that range. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not going to be running around and touring anymore anyway. Now, I would have liked if, you know, it was Soundgarden. Okay. Well, there we go. Just found out.
Oh, Soundgarden was the artist?
That's what I'm seeing. It says Soundgarden explains absence from concert.
Oh, shoot.
Interesting. Because I heard that it was possibly Soundgarden. It was possibly Motley Crue. But yeah, okay. So yeah, Ozzy's 76. Like, he's had a good life. He's done. What else can you do? He bit the head off a bat accidentally. He's done more things than you can imagine. I think being able to say, yeah, I'm done. I'm passing the torch. You know, let young blood start running with it now.
Yep.
I think that's kind of awesome. It's awesome because, look, you know, everyone's life, you know, it at a certain point it fades, and to be able to recognize that and to not just hold on with ego, you know, and end up doubling over on stage because he had to get one more performance in. I think there's something kind of beautiful about that, you know.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you step aside and you let the future come in.
I think you said it. It's he allowed the ego to step aside, and you don't. That's very rare for someone at his level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm sitting here looking at a picture vinyl of Youngblood on my wall. I'm a big fan of Youngblood. I'm so excited for him and see like where that goes. He's just blowing up right now.
And that's awesome because I didn't know anything about him until this concert.
Oh, really?
It kind of reminds me. Yeah, I used to deliver food years and years ago to this guy who, unfortunately, he passed. He had cancer, unfortunately, brain cancer, actually. But he was, you know, he owned a company, and basically all he did with his time, with all his downtime, is he'd sit in his garage and he'd drink a beer and he'd watch like Steve Vai videos or like, you know, all the other great guitarists. And I remember Steve Vai had a guitarist who came out, who was about 15, who came out and started fretting with him. And that's kind of what I thought of when I saw Youngblood up there with Ozzy. I'm like, good, you know? So you've got the prodigies, and they're connected to, you know, the old rock gods. And so, you know, they're the ability to have that, like, that unbroken link to the past, I think, is so important. And there are a lot of genres that don't have that.
Yeah.
And metal does. Metal has, like, a family kind of feel to it. And I think that's great.
Well, and that explains a lot about Ozzy, then, because every genre, everybody's trying to hold on to their spot, even at that age. Yeah. Did you get an update on that show?
It has not come, so I don't.
Okay.
Let me just try to send a text. I know.
You're fine.
I'm the curtain way back right now, but.
Where'd you say you were going tonight? Duffy's?
Yeah, heading to Duffy's. Supposed to start at 9:30. It's so funny that people make fun of Storm Cellar for starting late, because every once in a while, like, we just, like, I don't know, we push it to 10:10 or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I've seen Duffy start at, like, it was 10:20 when I left, like, a couple weeks ago. So it's right. It's funny that you're supposed to start at 9:30. You're starting at 10:20. What are you talking about? I started at 10:05. But, But it's fine. Duffy's is the place where I have no responsibility. So that's where I like to try stuff. And Storm Cellar, I have a little better handle. So I don't really try a lot of jokes there. It's more about like just kind of setting the table and letting the comics come up.
Work the material. There. Yep.
We have a really cool show. It is coming up July 25th at the Storm Cellar. It's going to be $15 at the door. It starts at 8. And we are going to have some great local comics. And we also have a comic who has been on Jimmy Kimmel, which is pretty cool. We got a guy named Casey Crawford, who you can look him up on YouTube. He will make you laugh, no doubt. If nobody else makes you laugh, and by the way, that's not going to happen either. But if nobody else makes you laugh, it will be worth it. You will pay $15 for Casey and you'll smile about it. But that having been said, we also have, we have Will and Serenity Doherty. We have Ben Danielson. And we have Colton Hoffer, who's one of our newer comics. And he's awesome. He's also a chef. He's a really interesting guy. And we have Robert Davies, who's a really solid staple of the scene. And we're going to have a silent auction. We have a lithograph, which is signed by Tom Osborne from 1994.
Let's go.
Yeah. We're working on gathering some more donations. But that's kind of the path we're on right now. We're going to have, I want to have buckets out by the doors so people can just drop money in. I want it to be huge. Yeah. And I want to write a drop in the bucket on the bucket. And I want her to come away with, as much money as possible, because what's happening is this lady has, she's a single mom. She has two kids and, one of them has special needs and she has stage 4 cancer.
Oh.
And I've said this to other people, I can't cure cancer.
Right.
If I could, I would. And sorry, I know pharma, you're drawing a bullseye on me right now, but I would. I would cure cancer if I possibly could.
Yep.
And I don't care who knows it. But I can't. And because I can't, we're gonna try to help her with her bills. And we're gonna try to just support her with as much love as we possibly can. And I have another reason for putting this show on, and that is that she came to a show that I was hosting, and I was so embarrassed because it was her first comedy show ever. She'd never seen stand-up comedy live ever. And two of the comics, they showed up 2 hours late.
Oh, no.
And it was a catastrophe. And she came back to an open mic that we had at the Storm Cellar maybe a month later. And that was a really solid night. So she was like, oh, okay. So like, this is what comedy's supposed to be. And we want to, you know, we want to give her a really good night where she just doesn't have to worry about anything. Just come and relax and laugh, you know, like what Robert said is laughter is the best medicine, but money definitely helps.
Money helps. Yeah. And you said her name's Cassie.
Her name's Cassie. Yep.
Yep. And it's July 25th, 8 p.m. I know for a fact, Casey, you're the headliner, is plenty worth the price of admission and to help the good cause as well. But then you've got a great lineup and you're hosting, right?
Yep. I'll be hosting. I couldn't fit my name on the poster and I look, you know, you'll see me. It's fine. but it's not my thing. It's her thing. And I really want the focus on her. And the comics are all donating their time. All the money's going to her. No one is getting anything. I mean, the bar, you know, is going to get paid for drinks, et cetera.
Sure.
But,
yep.
And do support the bar because, it's because of Jackie's big heart that we're able to put on events like that. And, you know, huge shout out to Jackie Storm, because if not for her, there'd be no Storm Cellar. And then where would I be?
Right. You know,
where would anyone be, honestly?
That's it.
That's a little meeting place for comics.
Another reason to support this show in particular, other than the great cause and the great time you're going to have, but the more people come out and support local comedy in Lincoln and at the Storm Cellar, the more opportunities for great shows there will be. So go out July 25th, 8 p.m., Lincoln, Nebraska, Storm Cellar. And, man, It's gonna be a great cause. You're gonna tear it up. I know that. What are you gonna do? Like 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, I probably won't do more than 10. I'll just try to do a tight little set, you know. Try to I've got some new stuff I've been working on. I'll bring that with me. And you know, I've been doing, here's the thing, is at the end of the day, I don't know why it took me this long, I'm 11 years in, but it took me this long to realize, you know, by and large, people don't want comics. They'll have comics think for them, but they don't really care about your opinion.
Right.
Not at the end of the day. You know, I don't care. I don't care what a comic tells me to vote for or think, really.
Yep.
I just want them to make me laugh. I don't want them to go, you know, beyond that, really. And that's the thing that I've been kind of working on, is like just mining my own life and being like, what's ridiculous about me? You know, because if I talk about a some kind of big idea or whatever, people can attack that, et cetera. And if I talk about a person, people can go, you can defend that person. But if I talk about me, no one's defending me.
Let me introduce you to this great comedian that has that exact same principle. His name's Jerry Seinfeld. He's done pretty good for himself.
Oh, he's an up and comer then?
Yeah, you'll have to Google him. There's a little bit out there about him. But yeah, no, he's got the same philosophies, and it's just great stuff. You'll have to check him out.
Well, at the end of the day, I think that's all there is for comedy is, I mean, people aren't going because they want to hear how they should vote, what they should think. They're going because they want you to clap your cymbals and dance, monkey.
Exactly.
And so dance. Like, it's not shameful either, because that's what you're here for. It's what we all agreed to. Like, but at the same time, like, I don't want to see preachers tell jokes. I don't see comics preach.
Yep. I love it.
Unless it's Cat Williams. Cat Williams can do anything.
Cat Williams can do anything he wants, including saving Hollywood, which he sounds like he's going to do. I'm here for it.
He's down in Georgia. He might just replace Hollywood.
He could. That's Georgia loves. I think they have good incentives for filming there, because I know a lot of big studio shows and movies have been working down there, because I don't know if it's tax incentives or what it is, but I know they've got they've got great programs for them. So better than Hollywood,
Nebraska,
anyhow.
Nebraska? Film industry in Nebraska. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep. My former roommate, the closest person I have to a brother in the whole world, Luke Sheridan, he just became the vice president of Dig Site Productions, that's located in Fremont. Just shot a movie yesterday there, and actually had the mayor of Fremont. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that, but he was on set. and it's really cool to see Fremont just really wrap their arms around the concept of film in Nebraska, because they're really the only community that really has that vision. And they have been nothing but supportive, whether it's, you know, White Light City Film Festival or just providing the tax incentives for films to be shot there. I can't say enough about the city of Fremont. Their mayor is amazing. I met him. I met his wife at an event that my former roommate was at. We had the cinematographer for Avatar was there. It was a good day. And be watching, because Nebraska is about to start doing some big stuff. Because the thing is, like, Nebraska can play anywhere.
Yeah,
we have enough hills, and we have little deserty places, and we have woods, and it can play anywhere. We can be Norway, we can be Hawaii, we can be there. I mean, we have so much range as a state.
Yeah,
and then simultaneously, the democratization of technology allows for, you can shoot anywhere. You can shoot, you know, especially now with Blender and with AI, you can shoot in your room, and you can put an entire feature together. Like, it's entirely possible now. So it's just a matter of, like, who wants to pick those tools up and work with them. And in Fremont, there are a lot of people. Also, massive, massive shout out to Stacy Heatherly. She is the head of Eastern Nebraska Film. And we couldn't have done any of this without her. We are just moving her dream forward. Wow. But she has been doing this for decades. She has been working hard at this. And I'm so excited to see this happening because, yeah, when I left Hollywood, you know, I was kind of dejected, but I came back with all this knowledge, and so did a bunch of other Nebraskans. Yeah. And it's like, hey, we don't have to be in Hollywood to make movies. Let's just go make movies. So, like, you know, in 2016, I just up and shot a short film, you know? So I had a camera available. I had some lights, and I just got some comics and just wrote a script, and bam, you know? And you can do that now. So Hollywood doesn't have the shine it used to because it's not necessary.
Yeah, it's just, it's more of an industry name anymore. It's not necessarily a destination.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. And I've worked on some excellent projects here. And you'll work with people who sometimes they come from Hollywood. Sometimes they come from New York. Sometimes they're local. But I've worked with some really, really excellent directors, some really, really excellent actors, and it's really going to take people by surprise what Nebraska is going to pull off.
Hmm. Man, I think you buried the lead. I mean, here we are. We're talking about the end of the show. We should have been talking about this from the get.
I know. I'm still you got me thinking about the car crash right at the top.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I'm going to bring this mood down. Instantly, and then we'll get to Hollywood Slander.
Well, at least you didn't just out of nowhere bring up O.J. Simpson. That would have been wacky.
Oh, geez. Can you imagine the vibe of the show had I even begun to talk about a I don't know, he's not even a murderer. He was a accused murderer.
Yes, he was acquitted murderer.
Yeah.
Okay. Accused, convicted. Accused, acquitted, citizen. Oh, wait, thief.
Thief. He did steal his own memorabilia. He did do that. I will admit to that.
Okay, he was convicted of that, so you can't come after me legally for that one.
Oh, that's funny. All right, July 25th, 8 p.m., Storm Cellar, Lincoln, Nebraska. Great show, great cause. You'll have to check it out. Kent, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.